Well, whether we're at home watching television shows like Heroes and Smallville, or going out to see the movies like X-Men and the Fantastic Four, it should be obvious that everyone loves a hero. Even when we watch our news reports about those courageous people who have risked their lives in order to save someone else, our hearts become warmed as we consider their heroic compassion. But then we begin to search our own hearts. We begin to ask the tough questions. Questions like, what would I do if I were in their shoes? Could I be the hero that that person was? Maybe you've asked yourself, what would I do if I watched a school bus full of children plummeting into the Mississippi? Would I run down to save them? Would I be the hero? Would I try to be a hero if I were on a plane that was being hijacked? Could I be a hero if I were standing in a convenience store that was being robbed? Or should I be the hero if I were the only person around witnessing people burning in a flaming building? Would I be the hero? Well, we'll talk more about becoming a hero at the end of our study. But until then, I'd like to take the time to look at the heroes that we find in our text today. This morning, we find ourselves in the book of Romans. And as we begin the study of this epistle, I'd like to give you guys some background as well as a quick overview of what to expect as we go through the book of Romans. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans while spending time in the Grecian city of Corinth. He wrote this book around 57 AD. Paul had planned to go to Rome, and then afterwards he had planned to go to Spain. However, his plans were interrupted when he arrived in Jerusalem and was arrested for preaching the gospel. After an appeal to Caesar, he did eventually make it to Rome, but not as a free man. He made it to Rome as a prisoner. The main theme of this letter that he wrote to the Roman church, the main theme is righteousness. And we'll divide this study of Romans into four main sections. In chapter 1 through 3, Paul will develop the idea of righteousness needed. In chapters 3 through 8, Paul will develop the idea of righteousness provided. Then in chapters 9 through 11, we'll develop the idea of righteousness vindicated. And finally in chapters 12 through 15, Paul will develop the idea of righteousness practiced. Well, this morning, we're looking at the first two sentences of Paul's introduction to the Romans. And from our text, I want to consider several examples of heroic behavior. The title of today's message is, Who Wants to Be a Hero? But before we answer this question, let's first consider, number one, the heroic apostles. We'll see how the apostles became heroes in the first century. We should also consider, number two, the heroic prophets. And we'll look to the time period prior to the coming of Jesus and consider how the prophets played the role of the hero. Finally, this morning, we'll consider our heroic Savior. We'll watch as Jesus comes and plays the role of hero in our lives. So let's jump into the first point. Let's consider the heroic apostles. The first apostle we'll consider, of course, is Paul. Paul, the author of this letter to the Romans. And here in our text, Paul announced to the Romans that he was indeed an apostle, but not by choice. Romans 1:1 says this, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. You see, Paul was keenly aware that he did not choose his apostolic position. It was not his choice, but rather he was called to be an apostle. Paul acknowledged that he was divinely selected and appointed by God to the position of apostle. Look at Romans 1:1 again, where Paul writes that he's a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. You see, Paul knew that he was an apostle, but he always considered himself the least of the apostles. This is why he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So he realized that because of the time that he spent persecuting Christians, prior to meeting Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he realized that he was not worthy to be an apostle, but by the grace of God, he had become one. Now, as we talk about the apostles, and we consider what is an apostle, we tend to have this concept of these super spiritual men who had unbelievable abilities beyond any ability of natural men today. We've studied the stories about how the apostles went out casting demons out of people. We've heard how John the apostle had been boiled in oil and survived only to be exiled to the island Patmos where he wrote the book of Revelation. We've heard about Peter healing the lame man and restoring the strength of this man's leg so that he could walk again. And we think, as we hear these stories, wow. Wow, these guys were extraordinary. These guys were superhumans. They were superheroes. No doubt they were, but let's consider, at what point in time did these apostles actually become heroes? If you would, hold your place here in Romans chapter 1 and turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And to give you the background of Acts chapter 4, let me just explain what was going on in Acts chapter 3. You see, Peter and John were on their way to the temple to worship God. And on their way to the temple, they met a lame man. He wasn't lame because nobody liked him. He was lame because he didn't have any strength in his legs. He was handicapped. So on the way to the temple, Peter and John met this lame man. He was sitting outside of the temple and he was asking for money. He was asking for spare change. Well, Peter rolls up and says, "Hey, look, guy, I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have, I give to you freely. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And at that moment, the strength was restored into this lame man's legs, and he stood dancing and leaping and shouting for joy, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us at that point would look at Peter and say, "Now there's a hero. What a hero." But I would suggest that this was not the point in time that Peter actually became the hero. This act of healing could be compared to the millionaire who gives spare change to a beggar. What has he really given up? You see, the apostle who was plugged into the power of God and had the infinite power of God to turn and heal a lame man, well, that wasn't much to do, was it? So like a millionaire giving spare change away, Peter just gave a little bit of the power of God that God had given to him. Was that really an act of heroism? I'm not so sure. No, I would suggest that Peter and John actually became heroes the next day. You see, because at the point in time that the lame man was healed, the crowd had gathered. Thousands of people had surrounded them. They were rejoicing because this man who they had seen lame in front of the temple probably every day of their life was now standing and leaping in joy. And here's this crowd surrounding and wondering, "Hey, what's the deal here? How is this guy walking again?" And so Peter began to preach. He began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it tells us in Acts that 5,000 people were saved. 5,000 people were saved because of the commotion that was drawn around this healing of this lame man and the gospel message that was preached afterwards. Well, because of this commotion, Peter and John, well, they were arrested. They were arrested and they sat in prison all night. And on the next day, they were brought before Annas, the high priest, and they were put on trial for what they were doing. In Acts 4, if you would look at verse 18, Luke tells us that they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, before I move to the next verse, at this point, understand, these guys had two choices. Choice number one, obey these wicked, sinful men and stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Or choice number two, continue to speak about Jesus Christ. Continue to preach the gospel message to anyone who would listen and face the persecution that would result. What would you do? What would you do if you were being told you can't preach Jesus Christ anymore or you'll be fired? You can't tell people about Jesus or you won't get the promotion that you're gunning for. What if we enter into a time period in our country where preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes what's considered a hate crime, and you could face persecution, even time in jail? What will you do then? Well, I hope that you would do what Peter and John did, because I believe that it is at this point that Peter and John become the hero. Because in Acts 4:19, look what it says. Luke writes, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Peter and John, they decided to take a stand. They took a stand and became heroes every time afterwards they went out and preached the gospel, in spite of the persecution that would result. You see, Peter and John weren't heroes because they healed the lame man. Peter and John were heroes because they chose to preach the gospel regardless of the persecution that would result. The same was true for Paul. If you would, hold your place, continuing to hold your place in Romans 1. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And as you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let me suggest that heroes are people who choose to help other people despite personal consequences. At the point in time that Peter and John brought healing to the lame man, there were no personal consequences. But as soon as they were told to stop preaching Jesus, or else, then they were facing those personal consequences. They had something to lose. And a hero is a person who commits an act of remarkable bravery or who has shown great courage and strength of character. And for Peter and John to go out from that kangaroo court and continue to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, that's when they became heroes. Paul himself knew that he would face opposition. Remember, Paul, he would become the greatest rabbi ever. He had been brought up under the teaching of Gamaliel, who at that point in time was considered the greatest rabbi in all of Israel. And Paul was his protege. Paul was soon to become the greatest rabbi. He was on his way to the fame of that profession. But understand, on the road to Damascus, as Paul was persecuting the Christians, he met Jesus on that road. And after meeting Jesus, he was led to understand what he would do in the name of Jesus. And so, after that conversion, after that point in time that Paul trusted in Jesus Christ, he began to go into each city and enter into each synagogue and preach the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies, and that being Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. But he knew he was facing opposition, because afterwards, he recounts in the book of 2 Corinthians, looking at verse 11, or at chapter 11, verse 24. He writes, "From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." You see, this was the life that Paul experienced because he chose to be a hero and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see, after the first time he was taken out and beaten 39 times with a rod, he didn't stop. Nor did he stop after the second time he was beaten with rods. Nor the third time, nor the fourth time, nor the fifth time he kept on being a hero in the name of Jesus. After he was stoned and left for dead, after he was left shipwrecked, after he experienced the perils of all the different sorts of issues that he came across, he continued to be a hero by preaching the gospel of Christ. Paul knew that he would be persecuted, and yet he preached the gospel anyway. This is why he wrote back in Romans chapter 1, looking at verse 1, that he had been separated to the gospel of God. You see, Paul understood that he had been set apart to preach the gospel of Jesus. And in so doing, Paul became a hero, when he decided to stand in the face of persecution. He became a hero. Understand that we've been reminded of what it means to be a hero, especially since 9/11. We remember the firefighters who went into a burning and crumbling building just to save those who were inside. Some of those firefighters even gave their lives so that some might be saved. Recently, we've seen other heroic acts as many fires have broken out across the country because of the dry conditions. I remember even last year hearing about a brush fire that broke out in Manchaca. Some kids were out in a dry field experimenting with cigarettes when all of a sudden they caught the field on fire. Well, the county fire department was called out. They were called out to fight this fire that was growing very quickly. And they soon discovered that the county fire department, they didn't have enough manpower to beat the flames back and to save the house of this elderly man, the farmer who owned the property. Well, the farmer suggested, because he knew about a volunteer fire department in that area, and so he suggested that they contact this voluntary fire department. And these guys came out as quickly as possible, but understand that they had this old, dilapidated, beat-up fire truck. But here they came, and they're barreling on the scene, and next thing you know, these guys just fly right past the fire trucks that were there trying to fight this fire. They flew right past the fire trucks. They flew right past the firemen, and they drove straight into the middle of this burning brush fire. I mean, they drove and parked that truck smack dab in the middle of the flames. And these guys jumped out as fast as they could, and they grabbed their hoses, and they grabbed shovels and whatever they could grab, and they were throwing dirt on the flame, and they were dousing it with the fire hose. These guys were heroes. They were fighting this flame, and next thing you know, they had beat down this flame so that it was just two small fires. And that was manageable for both teams to put out. Well, the farmer was completely relieved. They had saved his property. And he walked over, and with what little money he had, he walked to the chief of this voluntary fire department. He said, "Sir, I'd like to write you a check for $1,000. It's not much, but it's what I can afford. But I just want to thank you. Thank you for saving my home. Thank you for saving my animals." Well, the news reporters were on the scene, and they walked over and they said, "Wow, this guy probably gave you almost everything he had in that $1,000. What do you guys plan to do with that money?" Well, the chief of this voluntary fire department looked at the camera and said, "Well, it should be obvious. The first thing that we're going to do with this money is get the brakes fixed on our fire truck." Understand, firefighters are heroes who risk their lives to save people from the flames of a destructive fire. How much more true is this when we talk about the apostles of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, the apostles were heroes who risked their lives in order to save people from the flames of an eternal fire. While firefighters use water as their main tool to save people, the apostles of the first century, they used the gospel message according to the power of the living water of Jesus Christ. And they used that power to rescue people from the flames of hell. And as a result, well, most of the apostles from the first century, they were murdered. They were martyred because the first century Jewish society, as well as the Romans, most of them rejected the ministry of those apostles. Understand that, as tradition would have it, the apostle Peter was crucified upside down during the persecutions of Nero. Andrew, he was crucified in Achaia during the persecutions of Herod Agrippa I, who was the king of the Jews. In AD 44, the apostle James was beheaded. Bartholomew met his death by being flayed or skinned alive and then beheaded. The apostle Thomas was speared to death in Madras on the east coast. Tradition also tells us that Matthew was killed in Ethiopia or maybe Persia. James the Less was martyred in Egypt. Jude and Simon the Zealot were killed in Persia. And Paul himself was beheaded at a place now called Trefontaine in Rome. These men all risked their lives, gave their lives, so that others might know the salvation of Jesus Christ. All of these men placed the salvation of others before the safety of their own lives. And with the message of the gospel, they became heroes. They became heroes. Well, the apostles aren't the only heroes that we find in the Bible. The prophets, the Old Testament prophets that gave us the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, they also are heroes. As we consider the heroic prophets, understand that the prophets were the servants of God who gave us the prophecies of the Old Testament, which pointed to the coming Messiah. Those prophecies, of course, were fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. But in this letter to the Romans, Paul mentions the prophets in these introductory comments. Look at Romans chapter 1, beginning again in verse 1. Paul writes, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Understand that like their New Testament counterparts, many Old Testament prophets were martyred for the message that they preached. If you would, hold your place here in Romans chapter 1 and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Understand that if it weren't for the Old Testament prophets, we wouldn't have a clue as what to look for concerning the Messiah that God promised. Because it's through the prophets that God gave us understanding of what we should look for concerning the Messiah. Thankfully, men like Zechariah told us that the Messiah would enter Jerusalem on a young donkey and that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Then, the Jews stoned him to death for preaching repentance. The prophet Isaiah told us that the Messiah would be rejected and would suffer at the hand of the Jews. He told us that the Messiah would be wounded and whipped by the same people. And then after calling the Jews to repentance, the Talmud represents him as having been sawn in two by Manasseh with a wooden saw for having claimed to have seen Jehovah. This was the case with a majority of the prophets of God. In Hebrews 11, looking at verse 35, Paul tells us that the prophets were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. Understand that like the apostles, the prophets took a heroic stand in order to point people to the Messiah. The prophets took a heroic stand, realizing that their message would not be received. But they stood anyway, and they preached about the coming of Jesus. Stephen, the deacon, even declared to the Jewish leaders of the first century, in Acts 7:51, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One." You see, Stephen, as well as these first century Jewish leaders, knew full well that their own people had killed the messengers of God. In the same fashion, those first century Jewish leaders picked up stones and killed Stephen for saying so. They stoned him to death on the spot, but his point had been made. His point was clear. The prophets, the ones who foretold of the coming of the Messiah, were stoned to death because they took a stand with boldness concerning the promises of God. They were heroes. They were heroes because they were more interested in pointing people to the heroic Savior than they were in saving their own necks. The apostles and the prophets, they were both heroes because they were willing to risk their own lives so that others might be saved. They became heroes because they were willing to risk their own lives to point people to our heroic Savior. Well, this is our next point, the heroic Savior. And it's sad to know that in the book, The Day America Told the Truth, the researchers who wrote the book, James Patterson and Peter Kim, they report that 70% of Americans say they have no living heroes. 70% of Americans. 70% of Americans say they have no living heroes. But Christian, this shouldn't be true of us. This shouldn't be true of you, and this shouldn't be true of me, because the fact of the matter is, we have a living hero. And he's sitting at the throne of grace in heaven. It's Jesus Christ, our heroic Savior. In the opening comments of this letter to the Romans, Paul tells us about our heroic Savior. Look at Romans 1, beginning in verse 1 again. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace. Understand that while 70% of Americans say they have no living heroes, public interest in fictional superheroes has never been more popular. Consider the popularity of movies like the Spider-Man and X-Men trilogies. People love the recent Superman movie. There have been two Fantastic Four movies that have come out. The Incredible Hulk, Ghost Rider, and Daredevil have all found their ways onto the silver screen. Let's not forget about my favorite, Batman. So, you know, we've never had so many movies about superheroes. When it comes to these superhero movies, one thing that they all love to introduce are the origins of the superhero. How did this guy become this superhero? We want to know, how did this ordinary guy turn into a super guy? Well, we've learned through the Spider-Man movies that Peter Parker was bitten by a radioactive spider. And you know what happens when that happens. I mean, you turn into Spider-Man. And we understand that Dr. Bruce Banner was belted by gamma rays, which then turned him into the Incredible Hulk. Then he went on to put out a line of stretchy pants so that when he did transform, he wouldn't be embarrassed. But understand that these fictional heroes, they're usually stories about an ordinary man who, through some unusual circumstance, becomes a superhuman superhero. But the opposite is true when we start talking about the origins of Jesus. When we start talking about the origin of our heroic Savior, we're talking about a supernatural being who then becomes an ordinary human. That's what we're talking about here, the origin of Jesus. And in verse 3, Paul points out that our hero was first born there from the seed of David according to the flesh. When Paul writes the seed of David, he's talking about becoming a descendant of David. Just as Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos had revealed, Jesus was born a descendant of David, or within the tribe of Judah according to the flesh. There should be no doubt then that the Bible teaches that Jesus was 100% human. He was 100% human. However, the birth of Jesus according to the flesh is not the beginning of Jesus according to God. You see, look at verse 4. Paul revealed that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God. This word declared, it means to determine or to ordain. Understand that while Jesus was born, he was born a human according to the flesh, he was declared to be the Son of God. So he was born a human according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God according to the power of God. And one person with two natures, how do you reconcile that? Jesus was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. And this is exactly what Isaiah revealed in Isaiah 9:6 when he wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The child, the baby that Mary gave birth to, this was the child that was born. This was the seed of David. But the son that was given, is the son of the Father, who was implanted by the Holy Spirit into the womb of Mary. And so Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. And according to John, in John chapter 1, our heroic Savior is in fact the supernatural God who came to live among us as an ordinary man. While most superheroes begin ordinary men and become extraordinary superheroes, our heroic Savior began a supernatural being who then became an ordinary man, a part of God, put on a human suit to live among us as a man and to reveal the heart of God Almighty to us. Now, if you would, hold your place here in Romans 1 and turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Because not only are we interested in understanding the origin of a superhero, we also want to know about the superhero's powers. What are these powers this superhero holds? And Paul points out the source of Jesus' power in our text, and understand that many Christians think that since Jesus was both 100% man and 100% God, they tend to think that his power, the power that he had to work miracles, must have come from the God side of Jesus, the deity that was within the humanity. That's where Jesus gained his power to perform his miracles. However, according to Paul, we must understand that the Logos of God, who put on the humanity of Jesus, well, the deity of Jesus was contained within the humanity, but not only contained, but detained. You see, that deity that was within Jesus, the 100% of God that was contained within the 100% flesh, was detained within Jesus. And in Philippians 2, looking at verse 6, Paul tells us that Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Understand that Jesus detained his deity within his humanity. And so where did the power for his miracles come from? Where did Jesus receive that power to be able to heal people? Well, understand that in verse 4, Paul points out in Romans chapter 1, looking at verse 4, Paul points out that the humanity of Jesus received his power, look in the middle of the verse, according to the Spirit of holiness. That's right. God sent his only begotten Son into the flesh of human frailty, detained the deity within, and experienced life as a man. Therefore, Jesus relied fully upon God's Holy Spirit for the power that he needed to perform the miracles that he performed. And in this way, he experienced life just like you and just like me. Because if we're going to do anything supernatural, we have to fully rely upon God's Holy Spirit to empower us to do those things. That's how Jesus walked. That's how Jesus experienced life. And in this state of humanity, our heroic Savior revealed his passion for you and for me. One thing that we love about the comic book heroes is that they have a passion to save humanity. They have a passion to save us. Well, Jesus has that passion. Jesus has that passion, and in his human flesh, we were able to see that passion played out as Jesus hung up on the cross to die for our sins so that we can be saved. This is his passion. Jesus, 100% man and 100% God. He lived as a man, but he died on the cross. And he rose from the grave so that we can receive his love. And those who turn to Jesus by faith, repent of their sins, they experience the salvation that comes by faith in our heroic Savior. Jesus is our hero because Jesus has defeated our mortal enemy, death. Jesus has overcome death itself. Jesus defeated death itself through his sacrifice and through his resurrection. This is why Paul wrote, looking back at verse 4, Romans 1, 4, he writes that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is our living hero. He is our living hero. He is our living heroic Savior, who is sitting at the throne of grace in heavenly places. Jesus died in our place so that we could live and experience his resurrection. And Paul writes in verse 5, look at Romans 1:5. He writes, through him we have received grace through Jesus. By faith in Him, we have been given the gift of salvation that frees us from the penalty of sin. And now, for those who are Christian, for those who have received His forgiveness, that free gift of grace, He calls us now to play the role of the hero. That's right. You too can be a hero. Just like the apostles, just like the prophets, we have been called by our heroic Savior to be the hero. Now, when it comes to the fictional world of heroes, no one man has created more fictional heroes than Stan Lee. If you're not familiar with Stan Lee, then understand that Stan Lee is the man who invented Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, the Incredible Hulk, Daredevil, the X-Men, and so many more. This guy has created more superheroes than any one other man. Stan Lee also has created recently a television show called Who Wants to Be a Superhero? On this reality TV show, people are challenged to create their own superhero. And they're invited to come on and try out for this show where 11 wannabe superheroes will be invited to come on the show to develop their character in full. But I would suggest, rather than saying, "But I'm not a superhero in real life, but I do play one on TV." You know, that's fun and all, but that's fictional. It's not real. Jesus is calling us to be real life heroes. He wants to turn you and He wants to turn me into an actual hero. You see, Christian, Jesus wants us to be the heroes of today. And Paul shows us how in our text. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul writes that we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Now remember, Paul, who was an apostle, as well as the rest of the apostles, they had received the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And this then turned them into heroes as they took a stand preaching the gospel regardless of the persecution they would face. They were heroes because, well, they were obedient to the faith by which they were saved. And their faithful obedience led them into the world to every tribe, tongue, and nation to preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They were faithfully obedient, pointing people to our heroic Savior, and therefore they became heroes. Well, based on this idea, Paul wrote in verse 6 that you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Now remember, look back at Romans 1:1. Paul declared that he was a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Look at the word called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel. And while we in this day and age are not called to the office of apostle, we are called, the called according to Jesus, and we have been separated to the gospel of God. So while the role of the office of apostle is finished, no need for it any longer, there's still the need for heroes. There's still the need for Christians, those who are called. Now this word called, it means to be divinely selected and appointed to preach the gospel. That's right, Christian. You and I have been divinely selected and appointed, called, separated to the gospel of God, to reveal the heroic Savior, Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we become heroes. When we take a stand against those who might make fun of us, when we take a stand against those who might employ us and tell us that we won't get a promotion if we continue to talk about Jesus, and in the day and age that is quickly coming upon us, when the gospel message will be considered a hate crime, and we will be told that if we speak about the gospel, if we tell people to repent of sins, that we could face jail time, we will need to be heroes. Those who are unwilling to cower. Those of us who will, with the boldness of God and with the power of the Holy Spirit, take a stand and tell others, be saved, repent, and turn to Jesus Christ. But understand, this task is too great for you and it's too great for me. But by the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can. become heroes. Christian, you've been called to become a hero in the lives of the unbelievers around you. And understand then that when we choose to preach the gospel to unbelievers, we then become the firefighters who are pulling these people from the very flames of hell. Understand that when we preach the gospel, we are the National Guard who is pulling people from the floodwaters of judgment. When we preach the gospel, we become the SWAT unit that rescues the kidnapped victim from the enemy, Satan. Who wants to be a hero? I know I do. I hope you do too. Because Jesus Christ, by His power and according to His gospel, He wants to make you into a hero. Let's pray.